Wow, it's been a while since I spoke here to a couple of new people, I see. That's nice to meet you. Greetings from Sioux Falls, where we're retired and are busier than we ever were. I thought it would be differently, but I had heard rumors that it wouldn't, so I'm loving it. It's an awesome thing. I was pretty pumped when I saw the songs that we were singing this morning. I hadn't seen them ahead of time, but one of the things I wanted to talk about was light today, and the first song addressed light. And then the last song I want to talk about, yes. And so you guys have already stolen all my thunder. So we'll see how that goes. Originally, Larry asked me about 2 months ago if I would come and speak to the congregation while he took a couple of days off, and I said, gladly, I'd love to do that. And right away, I felt like I was supposed to speak on the difference between praying and saying. Praying something or saying something as a declaration. And as the first month, that's the way I started leaning toward my study. And then the Lord began to change that and started to talk to me about our calling. Well, then I discovered that district council, that was their theme. And so all of the speakers of district council were talking about calling. And I said, oh, Lord, there'll be some people here from Inwood, and they're going to hear all these sermons ahead of time. But I was talking with my wife, and I said, fortunately, they just jumped all around where I wanted to go today. So I would like for you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis in chapter 1. We're going to talk about light, but some other things as well. Would you pray with me as we begin this morning? Lord, we honor your word in this place today. We ask that you would anoint each of our hearts to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. Lord, if it's just the preaching, your word says that's foolish. It's foolishness. But when the Spirit of God takes that preaching and amplifies it in our hearts and mind, then it produces what you want to be produced in our lives. So, Lord, we dedicate your word today to this moment as we go through your word. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God. And how many of you, when you go to weddings or graduation, sometimes the couple will have put a Bible up front and they'll say, would you come and write a thought in here, write down your favorite scripture? And every time I'm asked to do that, I put those four words, in the beginning God, and I always tell them afterward, if you get that part right, the rest of life will work pretty good. If you mess up on that part, it's a turkey shoot. You don't really know what's going to come out of your life because you haven't got the direction and leading and guidance of the Lord. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many of you believe that? But one here and one back there. Okay, there's the rest of you. Yeah, that's important to know and to believe that in the beginning, God created all of this. And it says, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So imagine with me floating through space as this big ball of water. And on this ball of water, nothing can be seen because everything is darkness. And nothing has been formed. There's no energy there. There's just emptiness. And I remember back before I found the Lord, that kind of described me. Think about that in your life before you found the Lord. Weren't you kind of floating around in darkness? Maybe working the evil side a little more than just being a nice person? A lot of people have gone to the far side of darkness. Some of them have never returned. I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit who moved on my life. He was hovering over me and drawing me and leading me toward the cross and toward my relationship with Jesus Christ. I was empty and I was walking in darkness. Then verse 3 says, something incredible happens. It's that God said, let there be light. And I remember those days. Now, when I was a boy, I was in church every Sunday. My mother believed in us being in church whenever the doors were open, and so we were there. And I was not the best kid in the world. I was kind of naughty. And so every Sunday, I came to the altar to get saved because I felt like I had blown it with God that whole week. And it was a long time. Who knows how many hundreds of times I got saved, but only needed to be one. And somebody finally told me, you know, if you really mean it, you only have to do this once. And so I found the Lord, and he began to work on my life, and more light began to shine on me. And the light of God began to open and said, I have this I want you to do for me. And most of you are aware of the story of Moses. Moses was a stuttering type of individual, and he was shy, and he didn't want to do this thing that God called him to. And that was pretty much me. I wanted to be an electrical engineer or an airplane pilot or a semi-truck driver. I had all of those three as ambitions. If I started out, I wanted to be the one who would make a lot of money, and then I would work my way down. Airplane guys make pretty good money, and then truck drivers, well, they make good money, but it's not like a doctor, you know. And so I at least had options, right? And the light of Christ began to shine on me, and the Lord said, no, I've got something else I want you to do. And we're going to talk about that with all of us here in a minute, that the Lord has something for us to do. And it said that it was evening and morning, and that was the first day of creation. Now, I believe in literal days. A lot of people believe that a day could be 1,000 years of creation for each day. But I don't know why God would have said evening and morning if he had thought it was going to be 1,000 years for one day. So you can study that out. If you come up with a great answer, let us know. But that's what I believe, a literal seven-day creation. And God's big enough to handle the whole earth in just one day at a time, you know, for 7 days, 6 days, and then a rest. Some of you are around in 1986, some of us were, and you'll remember that on the radio you'd hear this commercial come on, and it was a guy named Tom Baudet. Remember him? He said, hi, this is Tom Baudet of Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you. And the Lord did that for me. He kept the light shining in my life until I went through the studies that I needed to do to become a minister and all of that. Now, the next day of creation, this ball of water is floating around, lit up. And but it's still nothing. And God says he's going to separate the waters on the earth from the waters that should be above the earth. And so it was like two realms of water floating in space. And then, in my mind, I see it like this. God began to prepare for man to be on the earth. And he started to do different things. One of the days, he took the land and kind of poked it up out of the water. And so that became dry land. And do you know that clear back then, as he did that, it was a permanent thing, that there's still dry land today? And a great observation is if you put that much water in a bucket and you put dirt in there, you're going to get mud, right? Well, God doesn't have mud. He has soil that's useful to us. And another one of the creations, he began to prepare for how he was going to feed all of these things that he was creating. And so he put trees and vegetation and things like that on the earth. And then that was the third day. And for many, many years, I didn't realize this, but it wasn't until the fourth day that God created the sun, moon, and the stars. So where did the light come from? God said there should be light, and there was. And I realized that God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And then I look into the book of John, chapter 1:1, I find out that Jesus was the life and the light. The Word of God was light to us. So whenever we read this, this can be illuminating to us. If we allow the Holy Spirit to anoint our minds as we're reading. There are a lot of people who've written through the whole Scripture. They know what it says on print, but they have no idea what it says in the spiritual realm. And so I even heard it last night on TV. A person that basically is in a position that people listen to them, and they're quoting the Bible to support something that's the Bible is against, but they're quoting the Bible because they don't understand the spirit and the power of the Word of God. God created the sun, put that in the sky to control the day, and He created the moon to take care of the night and the stars. I heard somebody years and years ago say that the moon only glows because of the reflection of the sun shining on it. And then he said that we only glow under the reflection of the Son of God shining on us. And this guy says, I want to be a full moon. I want all the light of Christ shining on me. I want to have everything that he has. And I want that light. I mean, we see the moon, right? If I have the full power and the light of the Son of God shining on me, people should be able to see that in my life. And I'll talk about that at the end of how that really happens. That was the end of the fourth day. The fifth day, says he puts whales, shrimp, in the earth. He brings about an eagle to fly through the heavens and a hummingbird to show up at my house. I love it. I love creation. I love the things that he's made. That was the fifth day. Then he brings to the sixth day, and he brings out the big boys. He brings out the elephants and down to the little shrews that run in the woods. And all of these things God's creating, and they're all being made perfect because he says after each one, and it was good. All of this was good. And then he said in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, he says, let's make mankind in our image. Look at each other. Just turn and look at each other. Come on. You won't hurt you. Do you notice that you look like God? We're in His image. We're like Him. Now, a lot of people think God has gray hair like me. How many of you have actually seen Him? The Bible says nobody has. Well, Moses did, and look what it did to him. Shining hair, shining face. All he saw was the back quarter that went by. Just the glory of the Lord going by when he passed through him in the mountains. That light was exciting. Moses came down and he scared all of his people because they hadn't been used to seeing that kind of glory shine from someone. Now, it goes on in there that after we were created in his image and in his likeness, it says, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea. And here's the part I want to focus in on today, is that the Lord created us so that we could rule over what he created. Now, the problem with all of that is that somewhere in the beginning, as he creates this man, he gives him a free will. Now, I don't know about you, but you give somebody free will, they want to do it their way, right? I know I do. And sometimes the Lord has to grab me by the ear and say, come on, we're going this way today, not that way. And you're the same way. You know that. You know what I'm talking about is that I'm a stubborn individual. And I'm not even German. My wife's German, but she's not stubborn. I don't get it. We always heard that, no, you get to meet up with a German, you're gonna have the most controlling, ornery person. No, she's beloved. She hardly ever chews me out. I don't think she ever does. She does advise sometimes. Can we call it that? You know, you shouldn't drive on the wrong side of the street. You'll get a ticket. The land began to produce food for man. God had made a preparation. He did it in order so that we would have something to eat. It'd be terrible to pop you out here on the earth and all these animals run around and nothing to eat. Now, it wasn't prime rib. It wasn't pork tenderloin. It was fruit and nuts and, you know, that kind of stuff. And actually, we could probably do pretty well on just that. But a lot of people say, no, you won't. Especially the hog producers, right? The thing that the Lord's saying that we need to rule, he left that in charge of his children. And for centuries, we did pretty good with that. But I don't know if you've noticed lately, we haven't been. The church has begun to step back and let the system of the world work itself into our culture, into our nation. And a lot of the things that we see happening are way outside of the box that God had planned for us, or outside the world that he planned for. There are people who don't know who they are. There are groups that allow people who don't know how they are to come in and try to raise our kids. We need a nation that sees the revival of God sweeping, the Holy Spirit sweeping through and touching everyone. Now, everyone won't receive the Lord. Everyone won't, but they will be influenced if the church will take its stand and stand firm on what the Lord has sent them into the earth to do. Look in your Bibles at Psalms chapter 8 and verse 1. Psalms 8, verse 1. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. And you made them rulers over the works of your hand. You put everything under their feet. He's given us a responsibility for our country, for our world, to see that it operates like he designed it to operate. Back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. After man is created, God says, I want you to fill the earth. And the King James says, I want you to replenish the earth. Almost makes you think that it was populated before and then it's need to be repopulated again. And some people teach that. I don't know for sure. What does it mean to fill the earth? It means that we are to have children and grandchildren and teach them about him and move that way. And so I'm looking at that and I think I haven't seen anywhere yet where God has said that's enough. Have you? To me, that's a good pro-life statement. Fill the earth. How are you going to fill it if you, yeah, you know what I mean. God is pro-life, by the way. He created it. Did you realize that when you were conceived, I really believe that the God of the universe came down at that moment of conception and put his spirit in us and that life began there. And I've seen somebody used a powerful electronic magnifying machine, microscope or whatever, and they looked at a fertilized egg on the moment that egg was bound together, that a spark of light came out of it. Now, scientists have blown that away, saying that it's a zinc spark. There's zinc in there, and when it meets up, there's a spark. Well, who put the zinc there? So to me, And I'm working on something to put on social media that talks about the zinc spark being the spark of life from God Himself. No longer can they say it's just a piece of fabric or it's not a baby yet till it's born. Doesn't mean they'll stop, but at least they'll have the truth. The truth will set you free, right? Amen. He goes on down and he says, I want you to subdue the earth, subdue it and rule over it. And so that's our responsibility. God took a break on the seventh day. We all need a break once in a while. How many of you work 24/7, 7 days a week? No, you wouldn't be here if you were. You'd be dead. I heard of a guy that just had a new baby, a comedian. He was saying, people told me that you can go, you'll die if you don't get a lot of sleep. And he said, I've proven that wrong because that baby keeps me awake all the time. I haven't slept in months. So I don't know where that falls, but I don't want to be that person. If I can get 4, 5, 6 hours sleep, I'm feeling good. I don't know what 10 feels like. I've never been there, I don't think. Although yesterday was pretty close. I slept in till about, 9 o'clock? I don't remember. Maybe a little later. It has been a big week, and I'm not a young guy anymore, so. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 2 and chapter 2, verse 9. It says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Okay, I want you to look at each other again and say to that person next to you, you're special. And don't say it like, you're special. You are special because God made us special. That you might declare the praises of the Lord, that you might be a person that gives Him honor and glory with your life. That's how He designed us, to be special people, demonstrating how we've been brought out of darkness into the wonderful light of God. And He said that we've received mercy in those verses there because He is a merciful God. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for that. Just turn over a little bit in your Bible to 2 Peter 1:1. And it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. God, not only that, but He put inside of us a tiny seed of faith. He said if that seed is the smallest of mustard seed, which looks like a grain of pepper, that's enough to move a mountain. Can you imagine if your faith grows? He goes on down and talks about that, and we'll get there in a minute. There was a man at the district council, and he was speaking about confirming our calling, named John Zick, came from our headquarters office to minister to us. And at that district council that the theme was called, he preached several different times about how we need to recognize the call of God in our lives. And what he was saying is that this call of God in our lives isn't that I'm called to be a mechanic. I'm not called to be a doctor or a nurse. I'm called to be a believer in God, to be holy and righteous. That's my calling on the earth, is to be. And that's for all of us. What would it be like if every one of us were doctors? We'd all be really skinny because nobody would be growing food. So we need each of us. And the body of Christ is the same way. All of us need each other in the body because some are a foot, some are a tail, some are a toe, some of them are a finger, some of them are a back. We need all of us. Jesus is the head. Nobody gets that job but Him, okay? You're trying to get that job, it's not available. He will always be the head. Now, 2 Peter 1:3 goes on and says, His divine power has given us everything we need to live a godly life. I don't know about you. Do you ever sometimes feel like you come up short in that department? oh, God, I just can't do this. I can't go through this. I can't keep this life going. And you're right, you can't. But he can, and he can do that through you. This, he gives you that life to live. God has called us all. He's given us all of these promises in the Word of God on how to live. And he's called all of us to be his children. Some of you might remember that scripture and say to me, well, doesn't it say many are called but few are chosen? That makes it sound like I don't get a chance or I don't get a choice to decide. Many are called. I believe the call goes out to all. There are only a few chosen because they decide not to answer the call, right? There are people in the world without Christ because they chose not to. Or maybe they haven't heard yet. There are some of those too. That's another part of our calling, is to make sure that we go throughout all the world and preach the gospel and disciple them to know him. Not just get them saved and let them go back into the world, because the devil will eat them up. They need to know about God. They need to know about the loving Jesus we serve and how he can affect their life and what he can do for them. We must accept the call of God in our lives, but we must accept it in his way. Not like Burger King. God has a definite plan for every life. Listen to what he said to Jeremiah. I have a plan for you. I know these plans. I knew you from when you were a baby, before you were born, that you were to be this for me. Now, with our birth, our conception, God also put gifts and talents and abilities and desires. And with those, if we're doing those according to how he wants to work the call of God in our life, they need to be anointed when we do them. If you're going to be a doctor that's anointed with the power of God, that the Holy Spirit guides you and leads you in your profession. If you're going to be a farmer, be the farmer that prays over his crops or his livestock and thanks the Lord and worships the Lord for all that he's given him. You might have less breakdowns. I don't know. And you might get rain. I love it when it rains because it reminds me of God that, oh, he does care, doesn't he? I believe that we are on earth right now. Each of us, we're here right now for a purpose. It's not just, well, I just showed up. Mom and Dad loved each other and I'm here. Well, that's true, but that's not your whole purpose. Your purpose is God has made you here for these days. And the purpose is not yours only, it's his. And you need to make his purpose yours. He'll let you do a lot of fun stuff. I've done all kinds of stuff. I want to be an airplane pilot. I've flown airplanes. And I did the white knuckle flying. I was scared to death. So good. I'm glad I didn't become an airline pilot. I drove semi-trucks in the harvest. Got that out of my system. And I got to work in electronics. I never became an engineer, but I think what I have done and have been is way better because of the variety of the things the Lord's let me do. So I'm not a bit sad about where the Lord's led me. I think it's been a wonderful life. Many are called, but they won't come, or they will come, but they make stipulations. Okay, God, I'll serve you, but I need to do it my way. And that's one thing that John was talking about at the council, said that, well, I'll follow you, Lord, but I don't want to live in Florida. And, oh, by the way, I want at least $90,000 salary. So that you start putting these stipulations on God, and it gets to the point where he can't help you anymore because you're not doing it his way. What if he wants you to go to Haiti? Now, when I was in Bible college, everybody prayed, or they would say, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go, but please don't send me to Hawaii. Because they always thought, God always sends you where you don't want to go, so they would, you can't con God. He knew what you were thinking. Trying to pull one over on the king of the universe doesn't work. Needless to say, I've tried that. We're at a crossroads today in our world. Are we going to be a world that serves God? Or are we going to let it go and let the devil run rampant upon the earth? God has given the responsibility to us. He's given us the responsibility to rule and reign over this earth. So we as Christians need to be bold and step out and say, I'm not letting this happen on my watch. I'm going to take over here. I'm going to pray for that situation. I'm going to be involved. And maybe you can't speak, but maybe you can make bread and take it to those places where those things are being debated and the word of God is going out. Last night on a video we were watching, there was a pastor speaking, and he said that the church has taken the word of God, and it's so strong, and they're telling us not to, that we need to start backing off. So they'll back off a little. They'll still support God's word, but they're leaving certain things off to the side so it's not offensive. Well, I tell you the truth, the word of God is offensive to those that don't know it. Nobody wants to be told what to do. But we're there right now. And where we are is that the church needs to step up. We need to step up and do what the Lord's called us to. I'm going to finish with this, the book of Esther, real quick. Most of you know the book of Esther, that Mordecai had a niece, I think, was what she was, that he raised because her parents had died. And Mordecai found out about a plot to kill all the Jews. And Esther had been selected to become queen. And she had a position where she could do something that would make a difference. But they, in those days, the queen or anyone were not allowed to go into see the king without permission, without being called. She took a bold statement, and Mordecai goes to her and says, don't think that because you're in the king's house, you are alone and will be the only Jew saved. For if you remain silent at this time, relief will come. God's not going to let it happen. Relief will come through someone else, is basically what he told her. Now, I wanted to say one more thing about what happened at the conference. We had a banquet. And at that banquet, we sat at a table with somebody from Aberdeen, South Dakota. I've known him for a lot of years, and we were just chit-chatting. And we found out that he knew someone that had been in a church there that we pastored. Ann and Jeff Andrews become great friends. Jeff was not a believer. We would meet in their house for Bible study, and Jeff would go in the basement and run his table saw and other loud electrical carpenter tools to disturb our gathering. And one day he came, I found out that he had some problem with his car, and I told him, well, bring it over to the house and I'll help you fix it. And so he came over and it fixed the car, worked fine, and he left. Later on I found out that he had told his wife, I can't believe a pastor would go out of the way to help me fix my car. And because of that, he received the Lord. Now, I just found out at this conference that I'd have a great-granddaughter that I didn't know I had. Now, before you get out of control, I'm talking spiritual grandchildren. Okay. We met this guy named John. We were there at the table. He said that there was a girl speaking that was from Aberdeen. I said, well, I'd like to meet her. And then when we went up there, have you ever felt like all the hair on your body standing up and you got goosebumps everywhere because of the Lord's in the room and you know something's happening? And I felt like that. And I went up to him, and her mother was there. Her mom and dad were there, had brought her from Aberdeen. She was the guest speaker that night, one of them. And get this, she's the one that said, after the end of her sermon, she said, say yes to God. That was our song. That's what you said earlier, say yes. Anyway, Ann and Jeff Andrews led this lady to the Lord and had been a friend, lifelong friend for years and years and years of this girl's. Her name is, just a second, I wrote it down, Addison Clark, a 17-year-old senior in Aberdeen High School, preaches like she's done it all her life. The Spirit of the Lord is on her. And I was thinking about that. I almost cry now thinking about it. That we minister to Jeff by fixing his car. He finds the Lord. Him and his wife find this girl and help her through her crisis in her life, who has a baby that has become a minister of God with power and authority in her life. And that's just one family, one couple that we have affected in our lives. And sometimes you feel like nobody cares. Nothing has ever come from our life. I've talked and talked and talked, but I have a great granddaughter that's spiritual granddaughter in the Lord because we were willing to fix a guy's car. You can do that kind of stuff. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would be the kind of people that say yes when you call. The call of God is on all of us. We just need to be willing to say yes. Oh, Lord, I pray that then you would take that calling and anoint what you call us to do and to be in this world, whatever it is, doctors, firemen, lawyers, farmers, pastors, anoint so that we are all that we can be for your kingdom. And I pray that in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.